Hopefully you can open your Bible or your phone. Usually, as you know, I don't like to ask you guys to running around between chapters or books. But today maybe is exceptional because we have a story, we have an investigation that I would like to ask you to join me, because the topic for today is the rise of Judah. And have you ever wondered why God has chosen Judah, the tribe of Judah, even though he was not really well known in the beginning? And a lot of time as a Christians, we take all this life for granted because the Bible wrote this way and God has chosen, so we don't really look into it. But today I just want to do some investigation, and I would like to ask you to join this journey that we try to find out why all of a sudden Judah became so important. And David came from him, and of course our Jesus, our Messiah, also came from the line of Judah. So today let's look at these chapters. As you know, Genesis chapter 49, recording the last words of Jacob. He was about to die, so he got all the sons to him, and then as a father, he was giving them a blessings of last words. And if you look at this chapter carefully, most of the verses, the words, were spoken for Judah and also for Joseph. But if you look at verse 8 to 12, this is the section that Jacob was talking to Judah. So if you look at verse 8 today, you would see that a phrase is very familiar. Your father's son will bow down to you. So if you remember when Joseph was younger, in the earlier chapters, you will see that he had a dream. And all the brothers bowed to him, and then he told all the brothers that, you know, someday you guys are going to bow to me and all that. But of course, that got him into trouble, and he was sold as a slave to Egypt. So if you look at that, you will see something happen between those times and then the last word of Jacob. And this phase came out again, but this time was not addressed to Joseph, but to Judah. Your father's son will bow down to you. So if you can turn on the PowerPoint, the first one, we will show you these verses. Jacob blesses Judah. And today, if you look at it, you will see that the kingship of Judah, and then the blessing, the power, and the blessings of Judah. So even though Jacob talked a lot about Joseph, but compared to these two blessings that he was given to Judah and also Jacob, you will see that time has changed and the direction seems to change too, no longer focusing on Joseph, but actually to Judah. As we unfold the histories and go into the New Testament, as I said before, and David and Jesus also came from the line of Judah. And sometimes I wonder why not the line of Joseph, but Judah. So today let's do this investigation together. So there are four women, very important in the genealogies of Jesus. If you look at Matthew, this is from Matthew. So if you look at it, you see four names. I'm sure you know that, you already heard it before. Women in those days were considered not important. So usually the names would not be mentioned, especially in the family tree like that. But Matthew recorded these four women. And the first one, of course, is Tima. And then, but a lot of us don't really know her a lot. Rahab, Ruth, of course, Bathsheba, we heard a lot of stories about them, Sunday school stories, but not a lot from Tima. But she was the first one, of course, because she was an earlier history of the family. So you see, her presence was very important in the tree, family tree. So today we're going to look at what was going on in the book of Genesis. What happened to Judah that made all these things change? So let's look at it today. And you look at it, first of all, I just want to show you again, refresh our memory. There's 12 sons. Sons of Jacob, you will see it, Leah, Rachel, You know the story again. Jacob loved Rachel, but he couldn't get her until he married Leah. And then the servant girls, and if you look at it, actually Leah gave birth 6 out of 12. And if you look at it, Judah was number 4 in the family, in these 12 sons. He was not the oldest, he was not the youngest, he was somewhere in the middle. So if you look at this family of 12 brothers, Judah was only number 4. Well, Chinese, we have the same similar cultures. The elder son usually have carried more responsibility, more blessings. A lot of time when parents pass away, I'm not the oldest. So the elder son will get double portion of the inheritance. Or the youngest one, because it would always be the babies, like Benjamin. So Judah was just number 4. So what in the world that we see him changing so much in this situation? So if you look at this covenant, the Old Testament, I just want to again refresh our memories, because there are three important covenants that were recorded in the Old Testament. The first one, of course, was with Abraham, and then the other one is Mount Sinai with Israelites. The first one, we call it, is unconditional promises or covenant that God made with Abraham, meaning that regardless what Abraham did or whatever happened or whether he was good enough or not, it doesn't matter to God. God was going to bring out the kingdom. And so that was the Abraham, a blessing to all nations. So, of course, and when it comes to Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19, so that was, we call it conditional covenant, because God told the people that if you do this, I will bless you. If you do not do this, I will curse you. So we call it a conditional covenant. And then the last one, the last one, also a very important, is with King David, 2 Samuel, and chapter 7. Now, as I just mentioned, David actually came from the line of Judah. As we all know that he was planning to build a temple for God. He was living in a beautiful palace. So all of a sudden, he was ready. He said, oh, maybe I should build a temple for God now, because he was still living in the tabernacle. So David was getting ready to build a temple, but God sent the prophet to tell him that, no, you are not going to build, but your son Solomon will build a temple for me. Do you know why God would not ask him to build or allow him to build? Have you heard about this before? Because he has too much blood in his hand. He conquered a lot of lands, he killed a lot of people, so God thought that he was not the right person to build a temple and left the son Solomon to build it. But in that conversation, God has given him a huge promise, which was recorded in the First Chronicles chapter 28. So yet the Lord, that was spoken by King David, I believe. The God of Israel chosen me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the tribe of Judah, you see, he chose my family, and from my father's son, he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. So God has chosen David. And David put this back to the reason he was chosen, because God has chosen Judah. When did God choose Judah? And why? Have you thought about it? You know, being a Christian for so long, you know, I think sometimes we lost that sense of curiosity. We don't really study, we don't really ask questions why all these things happen, because we say, oh, this is history, nothing we can do about it, and God has chosen this way, so we just accept it. A lot of time, yes, but it doesn't stop you to be curious, or me to stop, you know, asking questions. We should start asking questions. Why, you know? Because we can find out more why God has chosen Judah. So let's go back to the stories. Go back to Genesis. Now, I'm asking you early in the morning, try to remember all the Sunday school stories that you have heard. And then I won't be able to go through Genesis with you in the next 15 minutes. So I can only ask you to try to remember the stories that you have heard. So Joseph told the brothers that you're not going to bow before me. So actually, shortly after that, he was sold to Egypt. So who gave that idea to the brothers? Do you remember? Who actually mentioned that? They were talking about, they saw Joseph was coming to visit them. They were out in the field. And one of the sons actually mentioned, let's sell this guy to a slave. Who said that? It was actually Judah. Judah was the bad guy. He was the one actually saying to the brothers, let's sell this guy to be slave so that he would not be among us. Again, just an hour ago, all of a sudden, this idea came into my mind. Why Judah wanted to sell Joseph? Maybe he was thinking he will be the leader of the pack. He wanted to be the leader of the pack, the 12 brothers. Now he heard this dream from Joseph, saying that everybody will bow to him. So out of jealousy or insecurity, maybe, he actually mentioned selling Joseph, get rid of him. Because deep down in his heart, he was thinking someday he was going to be the leader of the pack. You see that trace later on. When he engaged Joseph in Egypt, he was the one talking on behalf of all the brothers. He was the one talking to Jacob, his father, about allowing them to bring Benjamin to Egypt, the second trip. He was the one. So he was already the one that leading all the brothers in the later life or in the famine, during the period of famine. So I thought, an hour ago, I was sitting there, all of a sudden this idea came to me and said maybe he was actually thinking about being the leader of the pack. Now Joseph became a threat to him. So he need to do something. You see, he already have this heart, his ability to be a leader. But something happened that God did not choose him in the beginning. Are you still with me? This investigation, and I just love history, it's because there's a lot of things in there. No, we can use our imaginations. We can try to investigate and try to find out from different pieces and then see what really happened. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. If you have following your Bible, can you turn to chapter 37? That was the story that Joseph was sold to Egypt. And then shortly after, you see, I don't need a lot of time, but I would love to take you to this journey with me. If you look at Genesis chapter 37, you will see that Joseph was sold to be a slave. Then you will see the conversation in that chapter, I believe. Judah telling the brothers, let's sell Joseph. Because maybe deep down in his heart, he saw him as a threat, taking over his leadership of the 12 brothers. That's why he suggested to sell him, to get rid of him. But the interesting things in this book, in Genesis, you see, we see an interruption. Because starting chapter 37, you will see that Moses, who wrote Genesis, starting to focusing on the life of Joseph. We all know that Moses wrote many chapters on Joseph's life. What happened in Egypt, you know, the encounter with the brothers and all that. So we know that he was one of the main characters in the book of Genesis. So starting 36 or even earlier, 36, 37, and then all of a sudden, chapter 38, look at your Bible, chapter 38. It was not about Joseph anymore. All of a sudden, there was an interruption. An interruption about Judah. Chapter 39, go back to Joseph. Between 37, 39, all of a sudden, there was a chapter describe what happened to Judah. So in chapter 38, Judah left home. Maybe he was feeling guilty about selling his brother. So maybe his brother gave him a hard time. They were kind of regretting what happened, so he felt that pressure, so he kind of left home. So the scripture described he actually left and went to living in the Gentiles, among the Gentiles. And he married, he had three sons, and then all the sons are getting older, and the first boy, second boy, and then, of course, Judah got married, married a Gentile girl, and then he had three sons, and the first son married to Tamar. Now she came. Unfortunately, in the eyes of our Eastern culture, she was not a really good luck girl bringing blessings to the family, what I'm saying it was, because shortly after they marry, in the sight of God, the first son was evil, so God killed him. Of course, the family did not know that. You have to understand that. This is recorded by Moses, telling us what really happened. But at that time, I don't think they know that was God who killed the first son. So the son died. So you see, actually Judah told the second boy, he said, according to the law, you need to marry your sister-in-law. Have sex with her so that she can bury a son for your older brother. That is the culture. That's the laws in those days. So he was supposed to marry and have a son with Tamar, but it will be under the name of his older brother. And the second son did not want that. Do you know why he did not want that? Of course, if he carried, Tamar carried the son and gave it to the firstborn, that means the son will inherit more than he would, or his son. So second son would not want that, so he would not get her pregnant as we unfold the stories. So, and God did not like that again, and the second boy also died. So in the eyes of Judah, wow, Tamar is no good. You know, if you have some little bit Chinese background, you know that this wife, these in-laws coming to our family is killing all our sons who want her to be around. So Judah said, no, I'm not going to give her my third son, my last son. So just tell him to go home. And he lied to her and said, why don't you go home first? When my younger boy, the youngest boy, grew up, then I will bring you back and you guys can marry and have sons, all that. So that was a lie because he never intended to do that. So Tamar went home. She buried this huge shame. We might not even realize as we read this until you study the history or the culture in those days. For a married woman without kids is a huge shame. Being kicked out from the family of the husband and had to go home, it was a huge shame. So she carried all this shame and went home. So make a story short, so some years later, of course, and even Judah's wife died. Now, after the mourning period, we don't know how long, maybe at least a few years, could be, and then now that he was free now, after the mourning period, that means he could engage sex with other women. So going to do the job, shearing the sheep, meaning that they are going to get money, getting the harvest, so-called harvest, getting money. So he was in a good time. He was free. of all these moral obligations, so-called, now that he can, you know, just enjoy life. So he had money coming, and he asked for a prostitute. So he was going up the town, and someone told Timon, said, your father-in-law is coming. So all of a sudden, okay. So Timon went up, pretend to be a prostitute, sitting at the entrance of the city. And you know the story, and Judah was so desperate. Can I have sex with you? So what's the price? A little gold? Okay, but I don't have it. So there's no guarantee that you will give it to me after. You know, a lot of guys just walk away, you know, after that. So you need to give me something. And Judah give her something like this, a seal, a cord, and walking stick, you know. Maybe he's already kind of old, I don't know. So he give this to her and saying that this is guaranteed that I will come back to pay you. So chapter 38 talks about this. So they have sex. She went home, put on the widow's dress again, make sure everybody knows that she was a widow, she was in a shameful situation, she had no sons, she was kicked out, all those things. She carried all this burden. And at that time, Timon already know that the third son already old enough to marry her, but Judah never took her back. So that was the way that she tried to what? Remove all the shames, at the same time fulfill the law. Remember the law? You need to carry the family name. That's why Judah asked the second son to marry her. But now it was Judah who broke the law. He did not follow through. And it was Timon who tried to figure out how to do this according to the law. So in verse 26, let's look at verse 26, chapter 38. So he finally found out Timon's pregnancy had everything to do with him. So verse 26, Judah recognized them, or the cord and also the walking stick, immediately and said, this is important, she is more righteous than I am because I did not arrange for her to marry my son. And Judah never slept with Timon again. You see, this verse 26, it was a turning point of the life of Judah. He finally figured this out, you know, deep down how dark he was, selling Joseph, lying to Timon. But now he was turning around. He recognized what it means to be a righteous person, to follow through what he was supposed to do. And Timon did it, and not him. So chapter 38, kind of stuck in the middle of Joseph's life, telling us that Moses, when he wrote this, put it, these chapters right here, actually just already gave us some ideas what was going to happen later on in life. So Judah became a leader, as I said. Joseph was already in Egypt, so the threat was gone. He slowly, surely became the leader of all his brothers. So they went to, during the famine, so they went to Egypt to see Joseph. And then the conversation, the first trip, second trip, bringing Benjamin to Egypt, the second trip. Very interesting, because during the conversation in chapter 43, I believe, Genesis, Simeon, the eldest son, actually said that, let us bring Benjamin to Egypt. If something happened to him, you can have my two sons. But Jacob did not even consider that, because to him, this eldest son is useless. His words mean nothing to Jacob. But later on, when Judah said that, let me bring Benjamin, and if I could not bring him back, I will carry all the burden. He did not even mention the sons that he had. He just said, I will carry all this sin and all this burden. And Jacob actually accepted that offer. Then you could tell his words meant a whole lot more to Jacob. Judah became the head of all the brothers because of, I believe, something happened in chapter 38. His life has changed. From the guy who really wants to get rid of all the threats, a guy seems to be following the law, but actually just a hypocrite, because when difficulties come, he will just forget about following the law. He will just do the thing that he thought was right to do. The investigation is coming to the end. The rise of Judah, brothers and sisters, God was looking. You saw those names, the four ladies, David and Bathsheba. Of course, we all know that that was a sinful act. And this one was considered too, Judah and Timnah. But you see, God was not looking for perfect people. I'm sure you heard that many times. But again, I just want to show you, God has chosen the tribe of Judah because he has some qualities, Judah, that other brothers did not have. He understood what it means to repent and what it means to do the right things again. You see, again. Not for the first time everything was right. Not for the first time everything was perfect. God was never asked those people. God never expect we were perfect at all times. But God did look for someone. When we make mistakes, when we sin against him, we will return, we will repent, we will turn around. And that was the quality he was looking for. And Judah, at the end, he became the head, the leader of the 12. And Joseph's dream was fulfilled. We have to remember that, but that was only for temporary. The brothers did bow before him. That was only for a period of time in history. But for Judah, this is for eternity, because we all read Revelations. Thank you for the Revelations. Because you see, that was an eternal promise. The kingship, the Messiah, the King of Kings will come out of the line of Judah. Because Judah recognized he was wrong, and he had to make things right again. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I want to give you thanks for the history of Jacob's family. There was so much conflicts, stories in his life, in the life of his family. As we look at the life of Judah, for many, many years, I never questioned about why, God, you have chosen the line of Judah. What made him so special when he was first just a bad guy selling his brother? Lying to his teeth, getting a prostitute. And all that, Lord, we saw him in front of our eyes, how he turned around his life. He recognized he was not the one following the law. When difficult time comes, he gave up, he gave in. But at the end, he recognized he was sinful. And God, you are so humorous because you gave him another two sons from Timnah. So at the end, he also have three sons. Lord, we thank you for all this, his life, how you chose him and why you have chosen him, and become the forefather of our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for his life. Once again, we want to give you thanks for choosing us. None of us are perfect. But Lord, you are looking for the heart that will turn around and truly repent of what we have done wrong. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.